Let's just thank God for our worship this morning. They were prepared. Those songs really, really blessed my heart and encouraged me, lifted me up. Now let's stand up for a moment. Let's put our hand on our heart. The Holy Spirit's at work.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And we need to thank Him for giving us an obedient heart that delights to do God's will. Say it with me, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Thank you for giving me, an obedient heart, that delights, to do God's will.
My heart
is being transformed
into the image of Christ.
In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. We had, this isn't my message, but one of the things that, and I'm going to do a message on this, one of the things that God told me as I was trying to meditate and prepare a little bit yesterday, He just said this to me. He said, tell my people when they're given a scripture, you know, sometimes people give you a scripture, learn the most important thing you can do with a written word is learn how to meditate on it. And the Holy Spirit then will participate with you and you will start to get an understanding of the meaning of that scripture, and you'll remember it. You know, just to hear scripture isn't going to do what God intended it to do. Okay. So I don't expect you this morning to meditate on every scripture that I'm giving you, but I do, God expects you to take something that He impressed upon you and start to really meditate on it. You've got to preoccupy your mind, and I'm talking to myself too, folks. Don't misunderstand. You must preoccupy your mind with the written word and the living word, because the Holy Spirit, He will start to enlighten you regarding scripture, and then you need to learn how to meditate on that and murmur it and confess it. I'm not the big example, but I'm just telling you that that's the only way that I've ever really gotten anything that strengthened my faith and transformed my heart. You know, the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you have to use your mind, okay, to meditate on Scripture. And I'll tell you what, it is a very, very rewarding practice. And the world wants to influence and preoccupy your mind with things that aren't going to produce any fruit at all of holiness or faith. We're up against it right now. And, you know, I had to learn how to now, I've had to forsake my phone. Uh-oh, we got. Nothing wrong with a phone if you use it right, but when it becomes a god to you, you know, when it preoccupies your entire life, I'm gonna talk a little bit today about obedience to God's will. Okay, and then we'll go back sometime later on the other topic that I was on. But that this is something that, you know, I felt prompted to talk about. I've been talking about your destiny, but you aren't going to fulfill. We'll never fulfill it without learning how to really have mature obedience in our life. God is looking for obedience in our life. Now, let's just look at our first scripture, Matthew 16:24. If we could. The message is obedience to God's will. And Matthew, then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." Now, if you're going to have to do God's will, sometimes you have to deny yourself. "And take up his cross and follow me." We must first establish a proper foundation or basis for doing God's will. For learning to deny oneself and receiving the willing and obedient heart of Christ. He wants to put within your heart. It's not just a legal form of obedience, it's a loving form of obedience. We have to come to a point of obedience. The Holy Spirit would lead us to be able to delight in doing God's will. There's one thing to do God's will, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we have to learn. When we mature, we have to learn, like Jesus, we have to delight to do God's will. And so we need to permanently dethrone self. That's a big problem. It can be. Self-will. Self-centeredness. Self-consciousness. A lot of times people are defeated because they are so self-conscious. And permanently acknowledging Jesus Christ as the true and only real center. He's not just a part of our life, he is our life. Some say, well, Jesus is a part of my life. Okay, so you're reserving the rest of your life to be in control of. We need to give him all. So in that real and true center, the two most crucial aspects of the Christian walk with God is the union of eternal life and the union of our will. The union of our will with that eternal life. Didn't the Father say in Matthew 6, 9, and 10, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, say your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The reason the world is like it is because his will is not being done in the hearts of men. And the world is independent of God, and the world is a mess. I'm glad that in time the world will pass away and all the lusts thereof. It'll be gone. And God's kingdom will be predominant. It will be a kingdom where the saints of God are perfectly obedient. That's thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now we're praying that now. We're not waiting. His kingdom has come in the reality of eternal life. Okay. That's how his kingdom came into us when we received Christ. It's eternal life. I don't really know if we realize what we had or have. So we are one spirit with Christ. Say, I'm one spirit with Christ. We're one spirit. And we must now learn to unite with him in that one spirit. We need to learn how to unite with him in our will. That's a little bit, that's something we need to learn to grow in. It isn't going to just be, even though we are one with Christ, we are not instantly walking in obedience to Christ. Now, you know, we know that that's God's will. We know that we must learn how the Holy, well, let me put it this way. The Holy Spirit wants to teach us how. To be obedient in our will with God's will. Okay. Sometimes that takes a lifetime of learning to be obedient to God's will. I can remember, you know, when, well, I won't talk about that yet until I make you understand that just because you do his will doesn't necessarily mean that you are in harmony with the spirit of his will. In other words, you do it, but you're not happy or joyful about doing it. You know, that's kind of what happened to me when God called me, and I can only use myself as an example. I don't spend my whole life trying to judge other people. I need to judge myself. You know, and when God called me, I really struggled. I did his will, but I was not harmonious with his will in my heart. course, I guess it was better than not doing it at all. Than to be in a spirit of delighting to do his will. And that's where we need to be. We need to be delighting in doing his will. We need to be joyful about doing his will. That's why there's such a mess out there in the body of Christ. A lot of it is people that are self-willed. You don't know of anybody that's self-willed. All you have to do is look in the mirror. So the union of new life, his kingdom coming in our heart is, let me put it this way, it is spontaneous. The minute you received Christ, it was spontaneous. It was instant. It was an act of God. It was an act of his grace. The only thing you did is receive it. You could not give yourself eternal life. I'm glad that righteousness was a gift and that you and I don't have to struggle our whole life trying to please God in the deception of self-righteousness. And that's a big deception. When I first came to the Lord, I grew up in a certain predominant religion. All it was all the teaching was self-righteousness. And of course, that continues on now to this day, that you can only please God by earning your salvation. Well, we know that we have to put We please God by putting faith in the gift of salvation. Okay, so that burden is off, and I don't want to die in my sins and self-righteousness, but that's the way a lot of people die. They die never having received his righteousness and resting in what the work of Christ and what he did for them on the cross. Big conflict. These are some of the major religions in the world. Catholicism, what's the other one? It's I'm not sure. We're going through that conflict right now, you know. And they're all based on self-righteousness, every one of them. You are going to have to earn your salvation to please God, and you can never please God. You can never live up in any way, shape, or form of his expectation. And I'm not saying God doesn't have expectation, but it's not to save yourself. It's to celebrate his victory in the cross that we have overcome now by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I can rest in what Jesus Christ did for me. We are not self-righteous. We are God's righteousness, you know. I don't have to buy my salvation. I used to have to take money up and put it at the altar, buying forgiveness. See what I'm saying? I'm not trying to attack anything, but these religions are, don't let me get into it. They're completely based on a lie. I better shut up or I get in trouble, but it's like, you know, Mormonism is another one. And we can name them, we can go on and on and on and on. They're based on self-righteousness. And you can never live up to God's expectation. Okay, obedience to God comes by the grace of God. Not self-effort. Like I said this morning, what do? Lord, thank you for giving me your heart, say his heart, of obedience. Something that I could never achieve without the grace of God through the Holy Spirit, right? So I'm just trying to help you understand that. I'm not trying to impress God. I'm trying to receive what he's already done and appropriate it in my life. It's about time, you know, that we become obedient to the truth. And by the way, obedience is not grievous. It's liberating. It's freedom from yourself. You know, there's nothing worse than being a religious, self-centered person. We can't thank God. We can't celebrate because the burden is now on us. And so I better, you know, I can get into this, but you understand what I'm trying to say here. The union of new life, his kingdom coming, is spontaneous. For new life is an act of God. Eternal life is an act of God in the heart of man. You know, I'm not trying to make you look ignorant. I'm just trying to emphasize over and over and over the reality of our eternal life. But union of will is neither so simple nor spontaneous because our will is clearly our self. Now we could call it our self in Christ, but it's still our self. And that's what we're going to come up against. Because we're going to find that there is a great conflict of interest after we come to Christ. There's a conflict going on in our heart. And you know what? We need to learn how to let his will win the battle. And sometimes that's unfortunate that we spend so much time with a conflict of interest instead of humbling ourselves and receiving his grace to be obedient, which is the best thing. You know, when God calls us to obedience, the reality of it is the best thing that we could do. So our relationship with Christ involves far more than just possessing his life, but it involves now expressing his life. See what I'm saying? It's far more than possessing his life that it involves expressing his life. I'm here to preach the truth regardless of my circumstance. I'm not going to make up a theology that is not true. Now, regeneration involves receiving eternal life, and being a channel of that life involves obedience through the surrender of one's will. You know, I'm thankful that our music team today was obedient to prepare, and yeah, it was a sacrifice for them. It was. You know, and if you're in touch with that, which there have been times I have not been in touch with it, it gives us life. It restores, it renews our mind, it restores our spirit, just like the preaching of the word. Receiving eternal life is a free gift of God based on Christ's substitutionary sacrifice. And manifesting that life will involve self-sacrifice based on, now that's the only little spot I had in here that I, based on our co-crucifixion, say co-crucifixion, which enables us to declare the old sinful self dead to disobedience and alive in Christ. We've got to deal, the cross dealt with our old man. They say old man. He was crucified with Christ. Okay, we call it an old man or an unsaved man ended up being crucified with Christ. That's how we deal with that. You know, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dead to sin and alive unto righteousness. I'm dead from being bitter any longer or taking offense. We can name any form of sin. But the reality of our co-crucifixion is that it was all defeated on the cross. The new man in Christ overcame by Christ's blood. Now that's the ideal. We know that we're dealing with the real. And it's unfortunate sometimes, you know, when Christians themselves don't find the grace to forgive and reconcile. Let me just say this about that. The person that you won't forgive and reconcile with, I'm going to tell you something. That may very well be the person that God intended to use to bless you. Just remember that. See, there's a miracle, don't get me preaching on forgiveness, but there's a miracle on the other side of forgiveness. Say it with me. There's a miracle on the other side of forgiveness. One of the things that I see the most is unforgiveness among Christians. And you're not going to have anything to do with the person that God might have ordained to bless you. Okay. Now, doing God's will is doing God's will grievous. Is God, who the Bible says is love, a child abuser? Is he doing things in his will for our destruction? Or can we trust in his love that whatever his will is for our life, it would be for our ultimate good? Okay. And yes, the truth is sometimes God, everybody walks through life. Everybody walks through No Christian, real born-again Christian, is exempt from the trials of life, from conflict, so on and so forth. Why did God allow that? Why did God do that for me? Because he already gave you the power to forgive and the grace to overcome. That's why. He is not going to shield you from conflict. He is not going to shield you from temptations, tests, and trials, because he knows what he put in the new man to overcome. So some people, you know, they use an excuse to not follow God anymore, and because they went through a trial, they were hurt. I was hurt. Poor me, I was hurt. Instead of learning to forgive and overcome, okay. And the biggest blessings on the other side of your obedience. Okay, you got what I'm saying. I'm telling you, this poor me. Why did I go through it? Well, you haven't been martyred yet. Right? So he's not, God knows something sometimes we don't, that he can prove himself in and through us, no matter what the world throws at us. He's already overcome the world, right? Now, if we're not going to do it in practical application, okay, the knowledge of it is useless. I'm going to do a message here real quick. I got it on the burner. How to overcome temptations, tests, and trials. You're not exempt. You have to learn to overcome. You have to learn to overcome offenses. You're going to be offended. Or you're going to be tempted to be offended if you take the temptation. Then you know what? You're going to be sidetracked in life. Instead of forgiving and overcoming, some people spend years justifying a bitter spirit. You know what I'm talking about. See, we need to trust in his love that whatever his will is for our life, he would be for our ultimate good. He's overcome the world. He's not going to shield you from the world. He's going to enable you to overcome it. Are you listening? In God's dealing of discipline in our life for our good, His glory, and the benefit of others, that is the basis of doing His will. Okay. Becoming a disciple involves, now listen to me, I wrote this word down, strong willingness. Say strong willingness. In other words, I've already established in my heart that I'm going to be willing and obedient, and then through all the temptations and tests, I'm going to be willing and obedient. That's the place to establish your heart, because God gives you grace to be willing and obedient. What a world we live in. I've been thinking, about it a little bit once in a while. When you look at the mess that's going on in the world and how Satan is running the world, sometimes you just feel like, I just want to get out of this world. Look at what Timothy says, men shall be lovers of the most self, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we can see it. Men kill other men for greed. It's just incredible. People live abusing and taking advantage of other people for temporal values that, in the end, they're not going to mean anything to them because they're not going to take them with them. Well, don't get me into all that, okay? This stuff means nothing, other than to use it for God. It really has little meaning when your head's screwed on right. Okay, how are we doing on our time? Are we all right? Okay. Becoming a disciple involves strong. Say strong. You need to get your heart established. Strong willingness to deny oneself and follow God's will at the expense of oneself, at the expense of, number one, I got a little list here, of number one, feelings. I don't know if we've got that. Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't feel like doing it. Well, that's the problem with Christians. They work, they obey their emotions more than they obey the word. Huh? I got up this morning, I didn't feel like coming here. Really? Really. My body was trying to tell me, don't. Okay. You got to figure the circumstance one is in. Okay, feelings are there was a song. Who wrote that song? It was a secular song. Feeling. I don't even know. I couldn't sing it because I don't really know it. But that basing things on feelings, you won't have a relationship very long. And then let's look at number two, confidence level. you know, I don't have the confidence to do this. I don't feel confident. Okay, you know, there's times I know I have to come here and teach, and I don't feel confident. Well, what does that mean? It's an emotion. Confidence level is way down. And therefore, people won't obey God because they don't feel adequate. Okay, the grace comes in the obedience, not the feeling. Obedience is not a feeling, it's an act of faith. And we could go on. We could make a definitely make a message out of each one of these points. Comfort zone. I don't feel comfortable doing this. Oh, okay. I don't think that Jesus felt very comfortable when he had to go to the cross. Purpose and plans. Okay. Loss of something held dear. You know, there have been times where we had planned things here and initiated a purpose where we didn't know how it was going to happen. It didn't look possible. Loss of something held dear. Paul said, I've suffered the loss of all things that I might win Christ. Likes and dislikes. Now you can do that with your meal. But likes and dislikes, what's that have to do with obedience to God? In other words, if you don't like it, does that mean that you don't have to be obedient? He a lot of times puts you in situations with people that you don't really like. And you just have to grow up. Hello? Best thing that ever happened to you. Some of the things you don't like are the best, the best things that God ever did for you. Your obedience resulted in maturity, spiritual maturity. Priorities. Thank you for putting a priority on your service here today. Yeah, it was a sacrifice. The music up there, what we're doing right now, that's a priority. That was something that somebody had to come here and pay a price to serve God. Persecutions. You're going to be persecuted, especially if you're going to be obedient. Does that give you a reason to quit? No, I've seen it all. People quit because they were hurt or they were persecuted or they didn't get their way or on and on and on. It's called self-centeredness. Then sacrificial giving. There have been times where God would just move on me to do something, and well, oh boy, what a test. I had to give everything. You know. And then let's just look at real quick some of the conflict points that I've been talking about conflict points, but let's look at conflict points. Colossians 1:18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, I could get in, you know, talk about a lot of things with this, but we need to give him the preeminence. People don't believe in being a part of the body anymore. But the Bible says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread, and the word of God, steadfastly. You're a member of the body. The lie is that you don't have to be involved in the body at all. Hundreds of thousands of people are in that deception right now. And the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. Sure, it's convenient not to be able to make a commitment to the body of Christ. It's real convenient, but it's not scriptural. And then Luke 9:57-62. Do we still have a few minutes? Because I'm not going to finish this message, but. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said unto him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No, see, the point is that you can put anything before God's will and justify it. To me, I want to be ready to do his will. Amen. At least it got me that far. You know, after 55 years of, at times, probably not knowing I was making excuses. You know, I can think of a lot of things. Well, I'd love to just go somewhere and buy an isolated place in a beautiful setting and be left alone. Huh? You know, and the Bible is very clear about asking his will, asking what his will is, being obedient to his will. You know, sometimes you can have your high ideal and but it's not God's will. You're asking amiss to consume on your own lust. Two measures are necessary in being joined to God in will. The first is to subdue the independent activities of the will. Say, subdue the independent activities of the will. And so we walk in these independent choices and activities of self-will, and of course, obviously, God isn't glorified by that, and there's no maturity in it, okay? So that's why I'm trying to make you aware of it. We're not playing a game here. We're learning to deny ourselves and follow His will. That's not a bad thing, by the way. You know, your works are going to follow you in the end. And that, how many know there's eternal rewards? There's going to be eternal rewards for people's obedience. Compare time to eternity, and you will get a glimpse of why it was worth your obedience. Doesn't seem worth it now. You can't make an excuse to quit. You can, but you don't. Yeah. What people do or don't do is no excuse for what you do. You know, you see all kinds of stuff, but you know what? Christ, the center of our life, is true, and my calling is to be obedient to Him, not to be influenced by what people do or don't do. I'm going to be obedient, okay? I mean, that's the attitude. I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to receive the rewards of obedience. I'm not going to make an excuse because somebody, another Christian, did this, that, or the other. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, you can't. This is real. It's real. We're dealing with eternal life, eternal rewards. So if we are really united with God in will, we shall cease at once every activity which emerges from ourselves hereafter. We discern and resist all independent action. Say it with me. We resist all independent action. We resist all independent action. See what I'm saying? You may have never heard a teaching like this. You know why you never heard it? Probably don't hear too many teachings like this because they're not popular. You know, I'm not looking to join a Bless Me Club where it's all about me and all about what God's going to give me. I really want to be obedient to God. Okay, I'm just saying, not just that needs to be our heart. Okay, I just keep going back, you know, to the scripture, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, and their works do follow. Okay. I'm not going to take any material wealth. I should have used it before I died to glorify God with and then receive the rewards of my obedience. It's a serious message, isn't it? I mean, this is not a bless me type thing where I'm no longer do we act for him under our impulse and according to our way. We act solely after we are moved by God. You know, in this idea of divine destiny as a fellowship, we can have 100 different opinions. Any time I've ever made, and I've made foolish decisions, and a lot of times I paid for it. I made one last Monday. And no longer do we act under our impulse and according to our way, we act solely after we are what? What? Moved with God. And sometimes, you know what? We have to learn to overcome human reason and wait patiently for him. And he will bring it to pass. I really want to know the will of God. The genuine, true will of God for my life. And until we have that heart, we're just kind of playing with it, you know, a little bit. And I'm not saying you can't get advice from people. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, but when you're sitting with four or five people and they all have a different opinion, which one do you follow? Huh? I'm going to just tell you something. I'm getting back into the other message of last week, but his ways are always what? Higher than our ways. Okay. I mean, here he is sending Elijah to a woman, and when he gets there to her house, she's dying. What kind of guidance is this? They're going to eat their last meal and die. And he just has the word of the Lord. He says, just make me a little meal first. Oh my God, we would be completely judged for that. Taking from a widow that's dying, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, there probably wasn't anywhere there. If people saw that, you would completely be. And you know what? She obeyed the word of the Lord, and guess what? She had a barrel that never ran dry. Hallelujah. God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. The foolish things to confound the wise. The weak things to confound the things that are mighty. That no flesh... You know, he's told us, and I'm not living in the past, but, you know, to do things that were just insane. And they would have been insane had we not heard from God and did them in obedience to him, you see. They would have been insane. I mean, here's four lepers going to the enemy's camp. That's insane. It's a death sentence. And guess what God did? He magnified their steps, their movement, and scared the enemy away, thinking that a mighty army was coming, and there were four people that could have done nothing. And God used that as a great wealth transfer. I mean, you're going to tell somebody to do that, they're going to think you've lost your marbles. You know what I'm saying? But God uses the foolish thing, you see. You know, he told me to, the one time there, to give all my money, and my little bit of money that I had in the bank account. My God, we ended up with living on 50 acres and with a house, and we did that for years with no rent, no taxes. I guess the $1,000 was worth it. It was a foolish move in the natural. You see what I'm saying? We could go on and on, but I'm just telling you that obedience is better than sacrifice. You see what see what Pastor's saying? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Okay, so I'm not going to go on today, but I never finish my message. I know that. I guess they're here. Here's okay. I got 3 pages here. I got 3 here, so I did half the message. Hallelujah. And I said enough, didn't I? I said I. Okay, now my ears toward heaven, not earth, and you know, I'm my ears, we need to learn the higher ways of God. I hope he doesn't ask me to go ask a widow for her last meal. Somebody was saying it wasn't Andrew Womack, but it was he's dead now. He's been dead since 2000, but he went into a service and was asked to pray for a baby, and the baby was all but almost completely dead. Now, you know what, God, this guy was obedient. He was bold, and the Lord told him to do something that would have been completely made no sense whatsoever. He said, take that baby and kick him across the room.
Wow. Really?
That baby came back to life and started running around. Hallelujah. No, I'm not going to kick a baby across the room, but I'm just saying that God told, it was, what was his name? Incredible. The baby was just all but dead, and the baby came back to life and lived his whole life healthy. You know, I mean, that's extreme. It's just like it the extremeness of him saying, look, make me a meal first. You only got one left, but see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not looking to find a baby to kick across the room, but that was.